All right. Take your Bibles, if you're following along, and turn to the 126th Psalm. Psalm 126. Listen as I read these words. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Now, I will not make many references to Zion of old, that is Mount Zion, that is the mountain upon which the temple of God was built. I'll make a few references to that. But Zion, even in the Old Testament, means God's people.
Yes, sir.
And we know from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, that Jerusalem, and that is Zion of old, but the Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us, that is every believer, the mother of us all. Yes. But Jerusalem, which now is in bondage.
Yep. True.
And in bondage with her children. Yeah. If you're of that Jerusalem, that is the Jerusalem that's over there in the Middle East, you're in bondage.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're in bondage.
That's it.
I want to give you 9 observations from this psalm this morning. But before I do, let me briefly give you this question. Zion in captivity?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Zion in captivity? Mm-hmm. Is this a misnomer?
Yeah. There you go.
Is this a misstatement? Of course not. Mm-hmm. Of course not. So here are these 9 observations from Psalm 126. Number 1. Our very predestination unto adoption as sons implies decreed need.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in the book of Ephesians that there are some people who were chosen in Christ before the world began. And these people were chosen based upon God's predestinating purpose to make them his sons in Christ Jesus. The very thing itself implies need.
That's right. Yeah.
Wherein he goes on to even say that we're accepted in the beloved.
Amen. That's right.
Now, while he does not say that we are not accepted in ourselves, the fact that we must be accepted in the beloved lets us know we are not accepted in ourselves.
Yeah.
That implies decreed need.
Yes, sir.
God did not tell Adam, "You ought not eat of the fruit of that tree in the garden." Lying preachers say that kind of thing. God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know why? Because God had decreed it.
Yes, sir.
God had decreed it.
Right.
Somebody says, "I don't like that." Doesn't matter whether we like it or not. Doesn't matter whether we like it. The very fact that there had to be a predestination, an election, an acceptance in Christ implies decreed need. That's number 1. Number 2, our election was unto salvation.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
wherein Paul specifically states that God hath chosen you unto salvation. Mason, that lets me know that in the mind and purpose of God, our fall in Adam was already there and decreed.
Yeah.
Our captivity was already decreed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Zion's captivity was already decreed by God. And when you see, and when we see in the Old Testament account, the captivity that came with Babylon, where did that come from?
Exactly.
God decreed it.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Now, yes, it was a result of men and women's rebellion against God, but God decreed that.
Yes, sir.
Mason, they'd rebelled many a time before, but never went into captivity in Babylon.
That's right.
This is all God Almighty's business. Salvation equals deliverance. And we were chosen unto deliverance. Why? Because we're going to need delivered.
Yeah.
That's number two. Number three, Zion fail. Not Jerusalem now. Zion fail, and Zion needs deliverance.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
According to Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And let me just read it, because I do not want to misquote that. Romans chapter 5. And listen to what Paul writes. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam he's talking about here. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Yeah. What it says.
We had no choice in that matter.
That's right. Exactly.
Had no choice in that matter. Nothing we could think or say or do caused that to come about.
That's right.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Yes.
But even so, this is true, Paul says, so by the obedience of one.
Amen.
That's Jesus Christ he's speaking of here.
Amen.
Shall many be made righteous. Made righteous. Not even imputed righteousness. But made righteousness.
Yes.
Imputation is, Paul, as we talked the other day, based upon fact.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The fact was we were made sinners in Adam.
Amen.
God's people are made righteous by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Now, don't answer it out loud. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. Did all fall in Adam? Did all fall in Adam? Now, if you want to try to be a theologically correct, you may say, well, yes, all fell in Adam. Theologically, that's correct. But let me ask you this. Ask all if they fell in Adam.
There you go.
They will tell you, I did not fall in Adam.
That's right.
Ask all. Someone says, all men need salvation. Go and ask them. Go out here to the mall today and just go up and pigeonhole people and say, do you need salvation? They'll look at you with a jaundiced eye like, what kind of nut are you?
There you go.
You see, no emptiness, there'll be no fullness. God never fills any person with His grace until He first empties them by His grace.
Amen.
That's it.
I mean, there are a lot of people today that say they're saved. They've never been lost. There are a lot of people today that say they've been found. They've never been lost. No one's ever found who's not first lost.
Exactly.
And I'm talking about lost by experience. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like that prodigal son where it says, and he finally, he came to himself.
Yes, sir.
You know what he realized? Where I'm at is not a good place to be.
Exactly.
God never clothes anybody in the righteousness of Christ till He first strips them of their own self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
No nakedness, no clothing.
That's right.
Have you ever seen yourself standing like Adam and Eve were, naked before a holy God?
Exactly.
And then you turn around and even try this, Mac, sew a few fig leaves together.
Yeah.
To think you're going to cover up your nakedness from the Almighty God?
Exactly.
That's how sinful we are.
Yeah,
Most people like to look at our fullness in sinfulness in light of great acts of immorality. And that certainly is true. But even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. I've never been clothed unless God Almighty first stripped me naked before Him. Never lost, never found. It is amazing when you can even have someone who's been brought up under the truth of the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. They made some profession when they were young, and they believe these things, but they've never been stripped. They've never been lost. They've never found themselves hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Well, this is just what I believe, and I want to go to heaven. We often throw that off onto the free willers. But it happens right amidst and under the preaching of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. False professions are made. And again I say, no emptiness, no fullness. No nakedness, no clothing. Never been lost, you never been saved.
That's right.
You never been captive. See what this says?
Yeah.
Never been captive, you've never been delivered.
That's right.
You've never been delivered. That's number three. Somebody says, I don't like that. That's tough. Doesn't matter.
There you go.
Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's the truth of God Almighty's word.
Yeah.
Number four. From this psalm, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Now, I don't know that this is actually a reference to the Babylonian captivity. I'm of the mind that it's probably not in and of itself. But be that as it may, one thing is true. Captivity, deliverance from captivity, always takes place by an act of God.
Yeah.
You don't work your way out of captivity.
Yeah.
Salvation is of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
It's of the Lord. You remember the one who said that, don't you? That was Jonah.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You think Jonah could deliver himself out of the captivity he found himself in? In the belly of that fish?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if he could, he had probably, at least when he started to go down, he was probably like trying to claw his way back out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I figure I would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he couldn't claw his way back out. And Joe mentioned it. I mentioned it last Sunday. That we are to look into the pit from which we were what? Digged. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, let us proclaim that without apology, deliverance comes by an act of God.
Amen.
It is not. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's a lie of the devil.
You're right. Yes, sir.
If God's done all he can do, then that God ain't nothing but a pitiful, pitiful being.
That's right. Oh, yeah. You're right.
God is the God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
He's the God who speaks, and it's so. Even more, he's the God who thinks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's so.
Amen.
And you or I can't turn him.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I want God to do this. If God hadn't purposed to do it, it ain't going to happen.
That's right.
Exactly.
No matter how much we cry, no matter how much we pray, Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I've got two kids. And I understand praying, Neil, oh, God, save them. Mm-hmm. But if God says no, then the answer is no.
That's right.
And God told Abraham, no.
Right.
That's what he said.
It's not going to come to Ishmael.
Amazing.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Number five. Deliverance is the working, and this is my, I'm just giving you this. I'm sure there's a lot more there historically, but remember, a history lesson is like a dry teat. It ain't worth nothing.
There you go. Yeah.
Have five little piglets trying to suck on a dry teat. It ain't going to do no good whatsoever. Just a history lesson don't matter.
Yeah.
He said, we were like them that dream.
Yes, sir.
What is a dream? It's a different realm.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I could say that. There might be more there, Mason, than what I'm giving you. Granted. But what's a dream? It's like a different realm.
Yeah.
Joe mentioned it. What did the Apostle Paul say? Let me read it to you. Colossians chapter 1. Paul wrote these words to the believers at Colossae, speaking of God the Father in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet.
Yeah.
Made us meet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Neil, as I read that, I thought of that preacher whom I used to be close to. Ain't been close to for about 35 years now, but used to be very close to. When he preached my grandmother's funeral, he said, God is a gentleman. He doesn't make anybody do anything. That's a lie.
Yeah, right.
Now, his God may be a gentleman. My God is the God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
And he does according to his will in the armies of heaven. Yeah, but also amongst the inhabitants of the earth.
Yeah,
and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And thank God, here's something I'm glad he makes me to be.
Yes,
which hath made us meet. I'm glad it's a work of God. Because I was in captivity.
Yeah.
I was a slave.
That's right.
Yeah. Look, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, qualified us, as Earl used to say, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's translated us into a different realm. Hadn't he? And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and thank God, even the forgiveness of sins. You know why? Because my captivity is my fault.
Yes,
I'm not even going to blame Adam.
That's right. You're right.
Because you know what? I was born in captivity, Neil, and I loved it to be so. I hung my harp up on the willows in Babylon and just enjoyed all of the great benefits of the Babylonian society.
That's it.
Yeah, loved every minute of it. Aren't you glad salvation's of the Lord? Aren't you glad it didn't leave it up to your choice? We make a lot of choices, but you know what? I look back on my choices. I look back on choices I made yesterday, and I'm ashamed of myself.
Yes, sir. More bad than good.
I had greasy bacon for breakfast this morning, Joe. But I ain't ashamed of that. That's just a little note of it. You understand what I'm saying? We're in captivity, and we loved it so.
Exactly.
We loved it so. Deliverance is the working of another realm. He's translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And listen to me. How do I say this? I'm not trying to ruffle feathers. But this book speaks that there's going to be a day come that's going to be 1,000 years long that Christ is going to reign on this earth before the new heavens and new earth come. But I'll tell you what, that's not the kingdom of Christ. Because it says about those 1,000 years and when they are expired. That's the way it's even translated in the KJ. Expired. The 1,000 years shall cease to be, Neil. But it said of Christ's kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
Now, my so-called premillennialism stays with what the book says, not what some men have wrote down and say, here's what you got to believe if you're this or you're that. No, we've now been delivered, Joe, from the power of darkness. That was captivity, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Even though, Mason, I was Zion, chosen by God before the world began, yet I was born into this world in captivity, in a Babylonian captivity that I loved and enjoyed, and God reached down and delivered me. Here's the sixth thing. Deliverance always brings praise, doesn't it? Then, and I'm going to add this, but you know that then and only then.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really pray. You might think you praise, but it's not until God delivers you from captivity till you really praise.
Amen.
You know, I used to think when I was in false Christianity, Neil, I made that profession of faith, and years later I thought I was a preacher, and boy, I just preached up a storm. But I preached nothing.
Yeah.
More than that, I preached lies against God. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness with God?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
But he delivered me even out of that, Joe. Oh, yeah. And then I began to understand a little bit about what real praise was.
Exactly.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing, and I couldn't even keep shut even before unbelievers.
Yeah, right.
I wanted them to know what had happened to me. You know what? They didn't care. You're a really weird nut.
Yeah.
You made a profession way back yonder. You're a preacher, and you still needed to be saved?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Praise amidst God's people, even praise amidst the infidels. Mm-hmm. Then said they amongst the heathen,
that's right,
the Lord hath done great things for them. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself just spurting off to somebody, and then you realize they really don't care about this at all.
Yep, don't want to hear it.
You know?
Don't want to hear it.
They really don't care, but it means everything to you.
Exactly.
You know? It means everything. The Lord's work is the message, is it not? The Lord hath done great things for them.
Exactly.
You see it? We brag about Him.
Yes.
We dare not brag about us.
No.
Oh, He's done great things for us. Yeah, for them. We'll get to that in a moment. For them. But we dare not. We brag about Him. It's like Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. That's boast. Brag, Mason.
Yeah.
There's one place to brag. That's in the cross work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brag about Him. Yeah. Brag about that.
Yeah.
Brag about God's Son. He deserves it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He deserves it. Praise amidst God's people. Praise amidst the infidels. The Lord's work is the message. The Lord's work for His people is the message. He's done great things for them. Listen, even if I'm not one, I know now the Lord's done great things for them.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody said, what if you ain't really one, though? It doesn't matter. God's still done great things for them.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Whoever they are, whoever they were that are in captivity and the Lord delivered them out, He's done great things for them.
Exactly.
You see, deliverance, that salvation, is not just a distant collectiveness, though we know He's done great things for them. But look, deliverance, that is salvation, becomes intensely personal. The Lord, verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us.
Amen.
You see it? Oh, to have reason to think I got a part in that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see, God's going to save all the elect. Yeah. The glory comes when God begins to reveal to you, you know what? You're one too.
That's right.
And how can you know that God chose me before the world began? That's already done and settled. And Paul says, here's how we know.
Yeah.
Brethren, beloved, knowing your election of God, how could you know that?
Yeah, exactly.
He said, because our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Much assurance about who? Him.
Amen.
The Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. I'm totally unsure about me.
Yeah,
but I'm absolutely sure about Him.
Amen.
And when He died, He saved His people. And I mean to say it just that way.
Yeah. Yes,
legally, it's done. When He died on that cross, Mac, He saved me.
Yeah.
Yes,
now, I was born in the captivity in the time of love, just like the time that 70 years finally gave up the captives in Babylon and decree was wrote out, these people are free.
Yes, sir.
And they begin to leave Babylon and head back to Jerusalem. You remember that?
Yeah.
Hmm? Because God Almighty has it in His decree the very day that you and I are delivered from our captivity. Yours may have been one day, mine may have been another day, but Job, both days, whatever day you were delivered, God Almighty decreed it before the world began.
Amen. That's right.
But this deliverance is never xenophobic. It is still us.
Exactly.
It ain't just all, God delivered me and I don't care about anybody else. You've got the wrong attitude.
There you go.
Because all of the us's, that ain't a right word. I looked it up to see if it was in the dictionary. But I'm going to coin it. All of the us's don't mind being us's.
That's right. Yes,
they like being a us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me. It's about us.
Amen.
Because if Christ died for you and Christ died for me and one of us don't make it, then Christ is a failure.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
If God so loved the world, if that world ain't saved, Neil, then God's a failure. And I know, according to the book, Revelation chapter 5, John seen it. He said, here's a people that Christ has redeemed by his blood out of every people and tongue, nation, kindred under heaven. That's the world, is it not?
Yes, sir.
David right back there, black and white too.
Yes, sir.
Male and female. Rich or poor. Amen. Bond or free.
Amen.
That's the world.
Yes, sir.
He saved at least one, and I know it's more than that, of every kind.
That's right.
And I will say is saving.
Yes.
Because here's number 7. The delivered never grow above the need for deliverance.
Amen. That's right.
Look at it, verse 4. Yeah. Turn again our captivity. Well, wait a minute. I thought they just said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Huh? In other words, here's one thing. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, which lets me know there were people saying, we don't like that. But he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? What kind? Sinners. Sinners. I'm not asking you if you understand all of this. I'm asking you, are you a sinner? Do you see your corruption before God? And even after God delivers you, you still have to say, you are forced to say by reality that in me, that is in my flesh, right now, today, dwells no good thing.
Right.
And you're forced to cry out, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
Paul wrote that being inspired of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
As a saint, a holy one.
Yes.
Writing down God's word, but still is forced to cry out by the reality he knows that's still in him.
Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Exactly.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God.
Yeah.
And notice he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who?
Yeah.
Who? God's salvation is a who. Yeah. It's not a what.
Exactly.
It's not a what. The delivered never grow above deliverance. Deliverance is continually from God. Read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. We have this sentence of death in ourselves. You know why? You know why God left us like we still are? So that we won't trust in ourselves. Go back and look at it.
Amen.
So that we won't trust in ourselves. But we know that the God who did deliver us yesterday, he's still delivering us today.
Yeah.
And he's got to deliver me tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't deliver me, Mason, and then leave it up for me to get there.
No.
The delivered never grow above the need for deliverance. Amen. If you've ever matured above that, you've matured way too far.
Yeah, that's right.
You're way too grown up.
Yeah.
I am being facetious.
Exactly. That's it.
It's like Henry Mahan told the one lady. She told Henry, well, Henry, I've been a Christian all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, lady, that's too long.
That's right.
And it is.
Yeah.
There's none of us been Christians all our life.
No, sir, that's right.
Decreed as such in the counsel of God, yes.
Right.
But born into this world through Adam and through my parents, born in sin, shapen in iniquity.
That's right.
I ain't been a Christian all my life.
No.
We never grow above that. Deliverance is a constant necessity. Why? Because we know in here, in my flesh, in me, no good thing.
Amen.
You know, the Bible means it. This is the practical matter, there's not a just man on the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
That's right.
The only justice, that's not right, the only justification that I have is in a person. He's
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Number, well, let me just put it this way. Let me sum up these 7 so far. I got 2 more to go. Those who know God saved them from the first, from the get-go, say, when was the first? Well, actually, before the world began. From the foundations of the world. And I don't even know what that means. I really don't even know what that means. So then, those who know God saved them from the first, and even in time, God initiated this thing. I didn't.
Exactly.
And I've told some here, we've got some visitors. I mean, God sent that man right there to me with the gospel. And you know what the first thing I said was in my heart and mind? That boy's a kook.
You're right.
I don't like him. I was right on that part, Joe. I don't like him.
Yeah.
You know why I didn't like him? Because he was just like I was. But he knew it, and I didn't. And he tried his best, as God enabled him, to exalt his Lord. But there came a day, Neil, that God Almighty broke me down and shoved my face in the dirt.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah.
And bowed me down to the truth of his Son.
Amen.
Mm. And I know it took God to do that. It's going to take God the rest of the way. Because
yes,
even now, I know, I told you, I know doctrine. I could argue with people up one side, but you know what? That don't mean nothing.
Exactly.
No matter how much doctrine I know and can lay it all out theologically, God says if a man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't still get it like I ought to, Joe. If I did, my life wouldn't be in such turmoil all the time. Now, I'm not saying everything would go great. I'm saying when calamity fell on me, I'd say the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I don't always do that even now. I know it's true in here, but I don't always say it with this. Do you? Sometimes we don't, do we? Even as a captive who's been delivered, I know God still got to deliver me. So number eight, so then, verse 5, so in light of all that, so in light of your fallen state, they, that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Mourn your corruption in sin. That's what it's talking about. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, which need not be repented of.
Amen.
The sowing in tears here, this is not talking about going out sowing the gospel. This is sowing in tears for yourself. I'm a miserable, wretched individual. And in and of myself, I hate God. That's what the book says about me. We were enmity against God.
That's exactly right.
My flesh still is enmity against God. Oh, wretched man, the sorrow for that. That's what's going to make you cry out for deliverance.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Every day.
It's what makes you cry out for deliverance. So then, that is S-O then, so, S-O-W, in light of your fallen state. But then deliverance is personified and singularized.
Yes.
He.
Yes.
Now it's no longer they.
That's right.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing. Watch the word. God never uses words in, just throws them out there because that sounds good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of they's and us's and we's up to this verse.
Yeah.
Now remember, still, it's all about him.
Yes, sir.
But all, with all the we's and the they's, Mason, now all of a sudden it's a he.
There you go.
And it ain't sowing seed.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Yeah.
Bearing seed.
Yes, sir.
Now seed will be sown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No doubt. And, you know, Paul, Christ even told the disciples, pray the Father that he will send people out to reap. Why? Because the fields are already white to harvest.
Exactly.
The word's been sown.
Yes,
and the word is being sung, but that ain't what it's talking about here. There's a song. I looked it up in this other song book, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Yeah.
You know, that's a song about a whole lot of nothing that says a whole lot of nothing.
You're right.
Because most of us, most, and I include myself, when I used to read that, even after God saved me, Mason, I still thought of myself in verse 6. And if I'd just go forth and weep and bear precious seed, I'd doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing my sheaves with me. And you know what? It ain't worked that way.
Exactly.
There's many that I've tried to sow seed for, and I just waited and waited for it to grow up into, have root, grow up and have fruit to perfection. Never did happen. But that's not what this says, does it? It says, he that goeth for, he,
yes.
Who is the man that truly wept
yes.
concerning these things? Christ is.
Amen.
He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And what did we do? We hid, as it were, our faces from him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He that goeth forth and weepeth. And notice here, not just sowing. As a matter of fact, it's not sowing here. It's sowing in verse 5. Here it's bearing.
Amen.
That implies ownership.
Yes,
go
sir.
Back and look at the way the word is used in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
It's all about bearing up a shield. Not just ownership, but he's got it in his grasp.
Mm-hmm.
It's his to control. We take that shield wherever he needs it, Joe.
That's right.
And then other things are bore up, bearing precious seed. My sowing will account to nothing unless it's seed borne by Christ.
Amen.
You remember, I'll give you an illustration of it. It's not the exact same thing, but Paul said, listen, I come along, I planted seed. Apollos came along after me and he watered the seed. But where did the increase come from? God gave the increase.
Amen.
You see, God don't have to have me sow seed. He can use somebody else.
That's true.
This is a joy and a privilege.
Yes, sir.
God ain't dependent upon me. Ask Jonah.
Exactly.
God wants you to sow seed somewhere. Bless God, you're going to sow seed somewhere.
That's exactly right.
Jonah will tell you, listen, don't think you won't.
That's exactly.
You may have to smell whale vomit for a while.
There you go.
You will go.
Yeah.
Whoever God's ordained to sow seed will go and sow seed. But this ain't about seed sowing. This is about seed bearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Ownership. Having it in his control.
Yeah.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, and then look at it, shall doubtless.
Yeah.
Ain't that good?
Yeah.
He ain't. It ain't dependent on me.
Exactly.
It ain't dependent upon you, Joe. It ain't dependent upon you, folks. When you try to testify of what God's done for you to other people, people that you care about, it ain't up to you. You sow seed. He's the one that bears it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes, sir.
You remember, he's the one that said, I thank you, God. But what's the first thing he thanked God for in that prayer? I thank you that you hid these things from some people.
That's right.
I have trouble doing that.
Yeah,
there's people that this thing seems to be hid from Mason, and that makes me sorrowful.
Yeah, you're right.
But Christ said, I thank you, Father, that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you revealed them to babes.
Amen.
He's the only man that can truly do that, Neil, and be totally right when he does it.
Exactly.
Sometimes when I try to praise God for the other side, it's like it's such a farce.
That's right.
You know? I know it's true. I know he's going to get the glory, whether it's in the salvation of people or it's in the judgment of people.
Exactly.
It will glorify God.
Amen.
And I know that.
Yeah.
But Joe, I don't always live and walk that way.
Exactly.
Right. In other words, that's number 9. Deliverance is personified. It's a person.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Joe preached to you folks just a little bit about a little ago, a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago about this when I was going down to Rocky Mount. You remember the good shepherd? He's got one sheep that's lost.
Yeah.
And he goes out and he searches for that one lost sheep until he finds it. And then he doesn't just start whistling and calling and say, all right, sheepy, I've done my part. Now you follow me. No, it says he picks it up, lays it on his shoulders, and carries it all the way home, and does so when he gets home, doing what? Rejoicing, saying to others, rejoice with me, because I found my sheep.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's Christ. So how do you really know that's Christ? Because that's Christ.
Yeah.
That ain't me. That ain't you. It just ain't. I may sow seed, but he bears it.
Yes,
and he's the one who will doubtless come again with rejoicing. But he's going to come bringing his sheaves with him. You know, people say, well, you believe in that stuff of election. And you probably believe just a couple little handfuls are going to be saved. You know, when we look at us, a couple good handfuls here. But you know what? No, it ain't just a couple handfuls. The scripture says it's a number which cannot be numbered. It has a number, but it's talking about if they were all set before us, I couldn't count them. Mac, I couldn't count them. Couldn't count them. You see, Christ was the man of sorrows. He was the one acquainted with grief, and he bore our sorrows, and he bore our griefs, and even more, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree.
Amen.
And as one preacher said, not only that, bless God, he bore them away.
Amen.
I like that.
Right. Yes, sir.
He bore them away. The second thing here, number 9, Christ bears precious seed. Let us all, he bears it. It's his.
Yes.
The ownership of it, the control of the seed, it's his.
Yes, exactly.
If he sends you to sow, if you get the opportunity to sow, thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
But it's going to be his results that's going to take place, not ours.
That's it.
But know this, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and then bringing in my sheaves. That seed, the sown, is going to bring forth fruit unto him. He's going to gather it up into his garner. Christ's ownership is no attempt. It's certainty. It's absoluteness. He shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Remember another one? The woman who lost, she had 10 pieces of silver. One was lost.
Yeah.
And she swept and swept and cleaned. How long?
Yeah.
So she just got tired and finally has, well, can't do nothing else about it. No, sir. Christ said she sweeps and cleans until she finds it.
Yeah. Amen.
And then she tells others, rejoice with me.
Yeah.
Because I found my coin that was lost. Christ's deliverance is more than an association with the delivered, it's union. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves.
Yeah.
It's like gathering them up, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? You know, even those who are in Christ that's died and gone on, when he comes back, Mason says he will bring them with him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And then he will raise their bodies first. This is going to be, it's going to be instantaneous. It'll be first, the trump will sound, their bodies will be raised, and before they even get all the way up there, everyone else who's in Christ, who's still living, will be changed like that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then we're all together.
Yeah.
We'll be caught up in the air.
Amen.
To be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
He will bring in his sheaves, ain't he?
Yes, sir.
I like that. In other words, here's my title, Christ brings the sheaves.
Amen.
Isn't it? That's the title, not this song here. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing. We ain't bringing in no sheaves. I brought in two or three, and guess how long them sheaves last?
Exactly.
They skedaddled after a while. Oh, you know, man. They loved me to start with, now they hate me. But let me tell you something. Once God Almighty bows you down to His Son, if His Son's the one that bowed you to love Him, you'll always love Him because He'll always bow you to love Him.
Yeah, that's right.
In spite of your failures, you're still going to love Him. Yeah. You may not love yourself, Neil, but you're going to love Him.
Yeah. There you go.
You remember even Job cried out in the end, wherefore I hate myself.
Yeah.
I've heard of you at the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. Now, that because of that, I hate myself.
Exactly.
And I repent in dust and ashes. That is Psalms 126.
Yes, sir.
Father, teach us these things as only you can do. Not myself, but as only you by your Spirit can do. Help us to rejoice in the work of Christ. Rejoice in Him. Truly, salvation is of you. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Joe. That was good for you.